Well, let me add my thank you and my greeting to Teddy's greeting as well. And if we have not yet had an opportunity to meet, my name is Mark Nelson, and I am the campus pastor here at Westwood. This is our first multi-site location, so this is Westwood multi-site location, Minnetonka, and I am so glad that you have all come out tonight. And tonight, if I could, I would like us to take a little journey. I'd like to take you to one of my favorite locations, I would even say in the entire world, a place where I spent an incredible amount of time as a young man. If you're up to it, let's go to California. South Orange County, halfway between Los Angeles and San Diego, to the city of San Clemente, made famous by the Western White House of Richard Milhouse Nixon, who was president from 1969 until he resigned in 1974. Let's go specifically to El Portal Beach. The summer of 1977. Now, to access El Portal Beach, because it is below a very large ocean bluff, you have to navigate six flights of stairs, counting a total of 112. You have to be really committed to go down to El Portal Beach. The beach is narrow and lends itself much better towards surfing activities than it does necessarily sunbathing or swimming. But because it was just a few short minutes from my parents' house, it was my beach of choice. Now, together we're standing on coarse white sand mixed with a little bit of black pebble. There is a 10-knot offshore breeze pushing against our faces. And as we look out, we can see the aqua water foam-topped, cresting at about 4 feet, and every 14 seconds breaking onto the shore. We are tasting the salt air. We're feeling the sand, and we're hearing the crash of the waves flow up onto the shore, a brief silence, and then ebb back into the ocean. The water temperature is 68 degrees. The air temperature is 72 degrees. The sky is blue with a few clouds that are in the process of going from white to gray to purple to pink and then to orange. As the sun is preparing to set into the Pacific Ocean, the sun is now positioned in such a way, much like these lights, that you can actually look right into the sun with the naked eye. As I'm standing, looking out over what appears to be an absolute endless body of water, feeling the radiant warmth of the sun pressing against my chest, I begin to move from processing this experience mentally to experiencing it emotionally. I begin to feel as if I'm becoming one with this overwhelmingly beautiful scene. And I have this feeling come over me that I experience at the core of my being, an experience in the depth of my heart. I begin to feel as if I'm being drawn into a dimension that is timeless, complete, beautiful, ultimate peace, and perfect rest. I have an overwhelming sense that I was made for this experience, and this experience was made for me. Have you ever experienced a taste of eternity? Have you ever experienced eternity in your heart? We can bring that God-placed eternity in our hearts into our everyday living. God designed us to experience eternity in our hearts, and He has made it possible for us to bring that eternity into our everyday living. However, It is possible for all of us to experience a taste of eternity in our hearts and bring it into everyday living. But we were designed for a full plate of eternity in our hearts that we might bring into everyday living. The tragedy is that most people don't know it. They don't experience it, and therefore they can't bring the God-placed eternity in their heart into everyday living. The Bible has a lot to say about eternity and about how to bring it into everyday living. And tonight, I read our text found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. And I read, "He has made all things beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts." The book of Ecclesiastes is attributed to the wise King Solomon, and it was written some 1,000 years BC. The book is categorized as wisdom literature in the Old Testament, along with other books like Job, Proverbs, and some of the Psalms. The theme of the book could be summarized in these words. The book of Ecclesiastes is a quest for something of true value in this life. I read again. He has put eternity in their hearts. In the original text, we find the Hebrew word olam, which translates into the English word eternity. And simply put, eternity is a timeless dimension, a dimension that has no beginning and no end, a dimension that is not restricted by time. Life on earth is time restricted, brought on by the fall of humanity. Life in eternity is not restricted by time. The scripture says he has put eternity in the human heart. And the heart in the Old Testament is considered to be the center of a person's interpersonal life. Today, we would consider the heart to be the center of what we would call our emotional intelligence. We are created by God in such a way that a sense of and a desire for eternity is placed in our hearts. Now, whether it is in an experience of nature, a creative work, perhaps a deep result of thinking, the process of discovery and/or invention, a highly enjoyable work, many people, when engaged in these activities, attest to an experience that is similar to being drawn into a euphoric dimension of timelessness. They lose all sense of time. This phenomenon even has a name. It is called flow by many popular psychologists. Humanity is created in the image of God and his likeness. However, because of the fall of humanity and because of original sin, the image can at times be very hard to see. Yet humanity, even in the state of sin, still has the image of God dimly stamped upon their soul. And they can bring that eternity into everyday living. But it is just an occasional taste. The gravitational pull of sin quickly grounds them once again into the restriction of time. The Bible calls the human heart a heart of stone, and the heart of one who believes and receives Jesus Christ, a heart of flesh. When I stood on the El Portal beach in San Clemente, I believe with all my heart that I tasted eternity. But at that time, I was a stinker. I had a heart of stone at that time. But I was back on the El Portal beach that same summer, August 21st, at around midnight, and I was by myself. I was experiencing the same sand, the same pebbles, the same crashing flow, the same ebbing of the waves, the same salty breeze in my face, and I was stretching on the sand with my back to the ocean. I had a sense that someone or something was behind me, and I turned around quickly. And as I turned around, I looked out over the Pacific Ocean with the waves crashing every 14 seconds, and I began to look up into a moonless night sky that was so filled with stars that it absolutely took my breath away. I felt as if I was looking into the face of God. And I realized that God of creation was the same God of the Bible. It was the God that formed me, that fashioned me, the God that had given me a taste of eternity, the same God of the Bible that put eternity in my heart. And I knew at that moment that I was created for eternity, and eternity was created for me. That night, my heart of stone was transformed into a heart of flesh. And before I went to bed that night, I knelt down and confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because I had come to believe beyond any doubt in my heart. That night, my heart of stone became a heart of flesh, and I was a new creation. I had experienced a new birth. I didn't have a change of heart. God gave me a new heart. Now, if you're thinking tonight that he's kind of making up stories and, wow, that's kind of a crazy experience, I want to read from one of my favorite theology books, page 229, under the topic of regeneration, subcategory, not a change of heart, but a new heart. The new birth is literally the impartation of the divine nature to the heart of the sinner, at that time, Mark Nelson, which makes him a new creation. It is brought to pass through a personal union with Jesus Christ. I was made, you were made, for more than an occasional taste of eternity. We were made for our Creator, the King of eternity, to dwell in our hearts. And so I ask, how do you bring God, the God placed eternity in your heart, into everyday living? You let God make and turn your heart of stone into a heart of flesh through confession and believing in Jesus Christ. Thanks. There is another way that we can bring God-placed eternity into everyday living, and it's by receiving what God has done for us in Christ. Most people live their lives imprisoned by the guilt of the past or frozen in fear of what might happen in the future over which they have no control. Christ offers forgiveness from the guilt of the past and offers a hope for the future that removes our fear so that we can live overflowing, abundantly, now, fully engaged in what I'm going to call the mystery and the miracle of the moment. You might be asking, how do we do this? By doing everything we possibly can to live fully in the present moment, not in the guilt of our past or in fear of our future. And we have, and all we will ever have in life is the present moment. I want you to think about this statement. We can't and we don't live in the past. We can't and we don't live in the future. We only have this moment to experience life. But ultimately, two things hold us back from being and bringing the God-placed eternity in our hearts into everyday living. And the two things are, restated, the guilt associated with our past and the fear that we have of our future. So then, how are we freed from the guilt of the past and the fear of the future so that we can live fully present in the moment? Well, we realize what Christ has done for us this Lenten season. He has forgiven us of our past and its associated guilt. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and he has given us a hope for the future. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in you with hope. What Christ has done for us ultimately gives us access to the mystery and the miracle of life in the moment. But the enemy of our heart does not want us to bring eternity that God has placed into our hearts, into everyday living. And so the devil uses thoughts, ideas, mental suggestions to plant in our minds guilt associated with our past and or fear associated with our future. And ultimately, we must then take those thoughts captive because we are forgiven in Christ. Therefore, we replace thoughts of guilt with thoughts of forgiveness and thoughts of fear with thoughts of our hope in Christ. So how do we bring the God-placed eternity that is in our hearts into everyday living? Well, we do that by living fully in the moment, forgiven of the guilt of the past, and hope-filled, freed from the fear of the future. I close by asking this question. How do we keep the God-placed eternity in our hearts, in our everyday living? These three verses and these three concepts have boggled my mind. I've never quite been able to get my arms around them. I'm coming to learn that some of the most profound concepts of God ultimately become the most practical. If we want to keep eternity in our hearts and bring it into our everyday living, we pray without ceasing. We give thanks in all things, and we rejoice in the Lord always. Prayer is dialogue with God, and it keeps us connected to him. Gratitude replaces a spirit of entitlement and finds the hand of God in all things. And rejoicing in the Lord always rightly aligns us with the Creator and the giver of every good gift. And all of these are proactive ways for us not just to bring, but also for us to keep the God-placed eternity in our hearts, in our everyday living, so that we can ultimately embrace eternity in the miracle of the unfolding moments of life. I close with this statement. There are moments in eternity, and there is eternity in moments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are ultimately the one who has deposited eternity in our hearts. And so, in this Lenten season, in these moments of somber reflection, would you allow us to consider your gift through Christ of a heart of flesh? Would you, Lord, allow us to re-engage in the wonder and with awe of what you have done on our behalf through Christ your Son this season, because you love us, you called us, you formed us, and you fashioned us. Father, would you loose our tongue to be quick with expressions of gratitude and thanksgiving because you are a grand God. Would you stimulate us, Lord, to talk to you often, honestly, would you, Lord, allow us to be a people that ultimately rejoice in all we have in the moments of our life? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Let us all stand. I would like to release you. Feel free by all means to hang a while. This is a great place to extend an invitation to a new friend, perhaps one that you have not yet met. But as you venture out in this Lenten season, my prayer for you is that you would come to discover the beauty of God in the moments of your life. God bless you this Lenten season. Enjoy all that is yours in Christ. Amen.